please be seated. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. Advent. Let us cast off the works of darkness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Last week we kept the feast of Saint Leonard of Port Maurice. He's one of the saints who's with us. Bishop Sanborn 5 years ago gave us, for the dedication of this new church, a statue of the saint. He's over there in that corner. He's the Franciscan in the brown robe holding a skull. I noticed this morning his robe is a tad tattered, even for a Franciscan. If anybody knows how to do a little touch-up paint for his robe, that would be a good thing. He's a great saint. He wears a big crucifix around his neck because he was a missioner. He must have preached tens of thousands of missions in his lifetime, and he must have made many, many converts to the way of grace. But every now and again, he would retire from active work for a season to some distant monastery, and he would say, "I have given many missions to others. Now, I'm going to give one to Brother Leonard," meaning to himself. I feel this way myself. After the autumn's sermon, we spoke on principles and on presidents and on popes and kings, great matters of moment for the church and for our country. But now, let us look not to plumbers or popes, the sins of society, or even the sacrileges our brethren could commit, even assisting at a Latin Mass. Let us look to our soul. Let us look to our own soul in order to save them. St. Leonard once wrote to a young man who asked his advice. He was near despair for sins of impurity. And he said these common sense words. He said, "You seem to have got it in your head that it is impossible to live chastely." And after urging him to pray, he said, "Trust not in your own powers," that is to say, trust in God. "There is only one way to get out, to get clear of the labyrinth you are in. Of course, you must avoid dangerous occasions. Keep a guard over your eyes. The near occasions of sin." Do you remember that phrase? What does it mean? If you are serious about not sinning, you've got to avoid any person or place or thing which may lead you into sin, whether of its very nature, that is to say, just about anybody would be terribly tempted in this situation, or whether because of your own nature or weakness. For you, it's a problem area, so you know you are going to steer clear of it. Indeed, it is often a sin to expose yourself to an occasion of sin without necessity. Scripture says, "He who loves danger shall perish in it." Occasion of sin. Well, it could be an occasion. That is to say, maybe a party at which liquor is served. You think nothing of it, but for an alcoholic, for someone who goes to excess, that has to be avoided. A gossipy gathering where reputations are carved up like Thanksgiving turkey. You need to steer clear of those kinds of conversations. Or maybe it's just no special occasion. You're just watching TV when the smuttiest, most suggestive scene comes on the screen, a real come on to sin. And it's still only the commercial. Computers are an occasion too. The internet is well named. And that is a net the devil casts out. And he always pulls in a pretty good harvest by its means. Any parent is a fool who allows the unsupervised use of the troublesome three by his children. TV, computer, cell phone, all of which are, for our use at least, a remote occasion of sin, if not more, and they are frequently so for those who are old enough, they should really know better. Occasions of sin, theologians divide them. They're said to be remote or near, depending on the chance that you would have of falling in there. Another distinction we make is an absolute versus a relative. Absolute, as I say, is something that would cause anyone to commit a sin. A relative occasion of sin is not a relative, although it could be. But that means that for you, for example, if some woman finds that her husband is always goading her to lose her temper, that is for her, he is for her, perhaps an occasion of sin. But then our next distinction is useful, necessary or voluntary. Obviously, she can't get rid of him, so that becomes a necessary occasion of sin. A voluntary one is one in which you go and you seek it out. But please, do not let these distinctions serve as a distraction. If you're not sure how things should work in practice, if you have a question, that's why Father's in the confessional. Only be careful. Always prepare your confession succinctly, especially a Sunday confession. Don't waste time on the obvious. You don't need to say, I should never have done that. Obviously, you should never have done that. That's why you're in the confessional. If you confess your sins succinctly, you'll have time, or maybe the next person in line will, to ask any questions, to seek any counsel that may be useful. Because sometimes the occasion of sin, some questions might arise. After all, life itself, true enough, is an occasion of sin. We want to keep it as remote or as distant as possible. You are obliged by the divine law to avoid any voluntary, near occasion of sin. Know yourself. Be honest. Think about things. Very often, the mere occasion of sin has become your sin because you chose it and you knew full well what would happen, sure you did, when you walked right into it. You don't need to buy this thing. You don't need to go to such and such a place. You don't need to talk to so-and-so, to see this film, to watch this show, to dress this way, to be alone with this person or with this screen. You don't need to. Or you tell yourself, well, everybody's watching it, and everybody is dressing this way, and after all, I am young, and I do need to have some fun, and it's just a way to relax, or this is how people do business. You have to kind of go along with the dirty jokes a little bit, and if they're cooking the books well, we'll see what the recipe is. No, not if you don't want to sin. None of that is obligatory for you. You would be surprised at the occasions of sin which you could avoid. But it's a matter of willing or wanting to go or to stay. We often make excuses. We used to say, well, I've made up my mind, now I'm determined. Famous last words. Or you say, I'm a good Catholic. God will protect me. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Or, I've turned over a new leaf. It's Advent or Lent or New Year, whatever. I've turned over a new leaf. These temptations, they're not going to bother me anymore. They're not. The story is told of a young monk in Egypt centuries ago who was having a terrible struggle with the religious life. And he complained to his spiritual father, the old hermit. He said, Abuna, he said, Abuna, I have been struggling now 7 years with this awful, awful temptation. It comes to me almost every day. What can I do to get rid of it? And the old father looked at him and he said, my son, I have been struggling 70 years, every day, without fail, for my temptation. The Christian life is a struggle. You have to buy into that. You have to believe that. You have to meditate on that and set up the scene and pray for strength and be courageous. It was news recently, a month ago, when someone got too close to a cage of wild animals. It was either in a zoo or at the circus, I think. And this person was severely mauled, perhaps even killed, made the paper. But it's not news if an immortal soul loses her innocence and falls into spiritual death because of some roaring lion or because of a lying serpent. That happens every day, and we just accept it. Now, remember, what is not an occasion of sin to you may be to someone else. So have a little charity. Be prudent in the matter of offering drinks or setting up this or that occasion. Remember, too, that the proximate occasion of sin, something which you know for you, you're going to be in trouble, that cannot be justified. But we love each other, Father. How could you ask me not to spend time with her? We love each other. Well, it's true. It's about 4 or 5 years down the schedule, so we'll be able to get married, but we love each other. Why? To separate? That would be like plucking my eye out. Somebody said that once. It was our Lord. Better to go into heaven with one eye missing than to go into hell with both. Stay away. It is true there are some seemingly unavoidable occasions of sin, and many of them, where you have to be there, can be defamed with a good application of prayer beforehand. That is why we always recommend to our young people who are dating, start your date by praying a rosary together. If you start by that powerful prayer, chances are you will not end the evening in the state of mortal sin. But unnecessary occasions must be avoided. Even animals would know that. Sorry, so of a man who quite fond of his old dog, and he and the old dog went everywhere together. Now, this man was a terrible inveterate gambler. He had a bad temper to boot. One day he shows up for his card game, and his friend noticed the dog is not with him, and they ask him, "Where's the dog?" He said, "Well, you know, I've been losing a lot lately in my losing streak, and when I lose, I get angry, and I kick that old dog. And you know, today, he wouldn't come in with me. He's staying outside." And his friends looked at him and they said, "You know what, buddy? Your dog is smarter than you are. A lot of people do very poorly in comparison with a dog." If you don't even avoid the occasion, you will certainly not avoid the sin. Adam did not protect his wife, Eve, from this big old kind of a serpent on feet. A dinosaur almost, which came into the garden. Eve stayed around and she listened when she should have left immediately. And look at the mess which that has engendered for all of us, their children. Peter, if he could only have managed to stay in the back of the courtyard, but no, he had to see everything up front and warm his hands with the fire to boot. And he denied our Lord thrice at the question of a mere serving girl. Many, most of our sins are occasioned by occasion. Acquaintances, some family get together, just talking at work, friends, or dress, or movies, or internet, or TV, or parties, or dating, or cell phones, or conversations, or relaxing, or having a good time. And sooner or later, the temptation comes. Now, many of us things I just mentioned are occasions that they come up in life. You could hardly avoid them all. And we're weak. We start to yield. We feel ourselves yielding. Prayer is the furthest thing from our mind at that point. What should you do? You're about to commit a sin. Get out when you realize it. The old monk says to the novice, he says, and that happens, fly. And it doesn't mean delta. Fly. Fuje in the lesson. Flee. Run. Number one, run. Number two, run right away. Number three, run away quickly. The way by which you may most readily overcome temptation might seem, in a military setting, the way of a coward. But this is the way of heroes of our Lord. You just get out. You go. You're having an argument at home. You're about ready to lose it. You know it. The blood pressure is going. Your face has turned red. Just leave. You don't need to say anything. Nobody knows, after all. Just leave. The conversation started out pretty well, but it's going south in a hurry. Excuse me, I've got to go. You don't owe them an explanation. You certainly don't owe them your immortal soul. Children, it may happen that you are in so unhappy a home that has television on demand. Someone may dig up a dirty movie from time to time. You may be visiting Granny or Aunt Matilda, and you will find the same experience. Some friend may dial up something on the internet. Oh, look at this. Children, you walk. I'll bet you're not going to remember. You walk out. We have received, if I am not mistaken, the sacrament of soldiers. There is no sacrament for cowards. But because we are cowards, this is how we can be heroes. You just walk out. You will have escaped an occasion of sin. You will have gotten out of a sin alive without your soul being lost. And a big plus. You, look at yourself in your spiritual mirror today. You, the weak little coward who can never stand up for God's commandments or your faith. With others, with the devil, or even by yourself, you don't manage. At long last, you will be standing up for something worthwhile. Try it. You'll certainly give others something to talk about. Who cares? Something to thought to think about. Maybe some good will come of it. But remember this. The soul that you save, that will be your own soul. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.